You may be seated. And if you would, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Today is Palm Sunday. Today is the day we celebrate our Lord's triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. For the Lord's disciples, it was a great day of excitement and joy. For Jesus, however, it was a day of destiny. Look at Mark 11 and 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem and to Bethphage and to Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye enter into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. Look at verse 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off trees and strawed them in the way. Didn't those kids do a great job this morning, bringing in those palm branches? Amen. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! In the highest, my subject, Palm Sunday, the triumphant entry. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the singing. Lord, how you've seated us in heavenly places. Thank you for this occasion that we are remembering today. And Lord, next week we will be celebrating your resurrection. But we celebrate it every time we gather, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you that our Savior is alive and that he's performing miracles, saving the lost, healing the sick, and doing signs and wonders in our midst, Lord. We thank you for this day, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. At the end of this message today, we're going to celebrate communion, Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. My sermon has 4 points today. The king they rejected. There's a crown over that. The donkey he rode, the 3 nails that changed the course of history, there are 3 nails there, and the 2 cups of communion. I didn't have a donkey, so that donkey represents you and me, however. So I could stand in the middle of that table if that table would support me. But I want us to take a look at what's happening because there was an awful lot going on during this time of history. But first of all, let's look at the king they rejected. The common people and the disciples of the Lord, they began to rejoice and they began to shout as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on this particular occasion. Prior to this event, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And the people had heard about this great miracle, and many of the Jews, they believed on the Lord. And they took palm branches and they went forth to meet him. And they began to shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, that word Hosanna, it means, literally means, he is the Lord that saves. See, these people, they were looking for an earthly king. They were looking for someone who would save them and deliver them from the oppressive power of the Roman government. They wanted an earthly king. But Jesus told them, my kingdom is not of this world. Now, when the Romans saw Jesus riding a donkey, they probably thought all of this was just a joke. Donkeys were the burden bearers of the common people. Horses were used by great leaders. Men of great importance rode horses. Men of war, they rode in on horses. And kings, they rode on horses, the finest that was available. But this donkey, he was a part of God's plan. This was the very Sunday morning that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah. Many centuries before this occasion, Zechariah had written these words about the coming Messiah. Look at Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just. And look at this, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. I love that part that they shouted. they begin to proclaim his triumphal entry. And they begin to worship him. The church never needs to lose its shout. They need to remember what happened when that nail-scarred hand reached down and touched their lives. And they were gloriously changed by the power of Calvary's blood. And they came out of darkness into the marvelous light. And the Lord put joy unspeakable down in their souls and gave them the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I want the world to know I've been changed, glory to God, from nature to grace. And a great change took place in my life. I don't do the things I used to do. I don't go to places I used to go. Hallelujah. I don't even hang around with the same crowd. I'm like old David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I just want to get to the house with people of like precious faith. I just want to get there to hear a word from God. And I thank Jesus for the blood. And I thank the Father for the plan. And I thank the Holy Ghost that he applied the blood to our hearts. And we're saved. We're born again. And my name's in the book. And we're on our way to heaven. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Shout aloud unto God with the voice of triumph. Let the devil know you've been redeemed, that you don't have to put up with his junk. You got power and authority in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're starting revival tonight. And I'm supposed to be doing a pastoral sermon this morning. Holy Communion. Hallelujah. That's right. Get so full of the Holy Ghost and fire, you won't be able to keep it down. You'll shout, you'll dance. It doesn't even matter if your back hurts a little bit. Hallelujah. See, I can get healed while I'm praising him. I can get healed while I'm worshiping him. I can get healed while I'm shouting. Because my spirit man, that inner man, he gets outside. Hallelujah. And when he touches the throne, all of a sudden the power comes back through my spirit into my brain, into my body. And that's how you get healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Rejoice. Amen. All through his life, his public ministry that Jesus performed, he proved himself to be the Messiah. He performed so many miracles. He opened blinded eyes. He healed the sick. Deaf ears popped open when he would speak to them. He raised the dead. He offered forgiveness of sin to every sinner that came to him. He proved his identity by the place of his birth. He proves his identity by his miracles. He proved it by signs and wonders and by fulfilling the scriptures, which are just too numerous for us to even mention this morning. Yet the religious leaders, they rejected him and they refused to believe that he was their Messiah. And time again, they rejected him. And it's just like that today. People hear the gospel. And let me tell you why, if you've never been saved, you've never been saved. The Bible says if our gospel be hid, it is hid by the god of this world, the devil, who has blinded their minds. Your mind is blinded. Lest the glorious light of the glorious gospel should shine unto you and you could be free. Hallelujah. They rejected him, but you're hearing a message this morning on the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and you don't need to reject him. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him, I will sup with him, and he with me. He put the door handle on the inside, and he's not going to force his way in. But if you say, Jesus, come into my heart and save me, he said, I'll come in and we can have communion. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to celebrate communion. Amen. Time and time again, the Jewish nation, his own people, they rejected him. And so much so that John wrote, said he came unto his own received him not. But then he adds to that, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born not of the will of man nor the will of the flesh, but by the will of God. It's God's will that you be saved. If you're watching by a live stream, if you've never been saved, God's got you there so you can be saved today. Jesus came into Jerusalem on this day, and once more, he was revealing his identity to the nation of Israel. He identifies himself over and over to mankind through every generation. This was their final opportunity to receive their king. Many of the people wondered, Why would a king be riding on a lowly donkey? After all, wouldn't the Messiah be riding on a powerful horse? Even Christ's own disciples, they did not understand what they were witnessing. Yet anyone in that crowd who understood the prophecy of Zechariah, when they saw Jesus riding into Jerusalem on that particular day, they would have understood exactly what was happening. These people, the Bible wasn't just a book that they read. This book was their history book, and they studied it. Amen. So they should have understood what was happening. See, Jesus presented himself and represented himself just as the prophets had said he would. He came as a king, and Jesus made the triumphant entry into Jerusalem exactly 1 week before the resurrection, just as it had been told. In just 5 days, some of these people, along with many others, they would be crying out in anger as they got ready. They crucify him, crucify him, nail him to the cross. Do away with him. You can't do away with him because he'll just keep coming back. But they crucified the Lord of glory. And so his entrance into Jerusalem on this particular day, it was no coincidence. It was all a part of God's plan. Amen. The Lord's entire life, it centered around one day. The day that Jesus Christ would climb up Calvary's Hill, the place of the skull, and that he would be nailed to the cross. His entire purpose for living was to bleed and to die on that cross. Amen. God help us. Hallelujah. The king that they rejected. He came to save. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to redeem you and me. He came to save the whole world. He came to be the Savior. And until you know him in that relationship, you don't know Jesus at all. Until he comes into your heart and the blood of Jesus Christ flushes out all your sin and all your filth that your life has been contaminated by, then you don't know Jesus at all. People say, don't preach about that blood. Don't talk about sin like that. Well, we still got people in the church sipping their Jack Daniels. We got them sleeping around. We got them going to places they shouldn't go. When Jesus comes, let me tell you something. Jesus makes a change. And if you didn't get changed, you need to keep coming back to the cross until you see it all, until he delivers you from it all, because you don't have to drag those chains of slavery around. Hallelujah. No more chains of slavery. Truth has triumphed. I have the victory. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Richie Frank and I used to preach and he'd sing that song. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. No more chains of slavery. Truth has triumphed. I have the victory. For whom the Son makes free is free indeed. If he's freed, you go on praise him. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus came to save the whole world. He came to deliver us from the bondage of sin. Sin has a downward progression. Amen. It'll take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. The path of sin is always downward. That's why mankind needs a Savior. But he came to save us from our sin, and then he came to free us from the unclean habits and the bondages of our past. And not only that, but when he delivers us from sin, he gives us a new desire to follow him and to serve him. I love to follow him. I love to serve him. I wished I could do more. But all I can do is what I can do. But I promise you this, all you can do is what you can do. But if you'll get involved, you can make a difference. Hallelujah. You can make a difference in somebody's life, because when you show up to make a difference, God will make up the difference. Hallelujah. Amen. Hasn't he made a difference in your life? But he comes to deliver us and give us new desires. Look at Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, look at this, from all iniquity, as sin, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are peculiar people, and we're zealous of good works. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've ever asked the Lord to save you or not, but if you have, you don't have to be a slave to any sin of your past. You don't have to be a slave to alcohol. You don't have to be a slave to drugs. You don't have to be a slave to nicotine. You don't have to be a slave to unclean sexual habits. Amen. You don't have to be a slave to anything unclean at all. Amen. He purifies us, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That means you get excited about it. Hallelujah. You got something to tell. You got something to give away. Said, I come to tell you about Jesus. Let me give you my testimony. You don't even have to preach. You got a testimony that will deliver. All you got to do is let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And you witness, and all of a sudden they got all kind of problems. And they say, well, if Jesus did that for you, surely Jesus can do that for me. Well, he can, because God is no respecter person. He's a great God. Hallelujah. Jesus saves, one man said, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Hallelujah. And he delivers from the bent of sin. See, sin had us bent in the wrong direction. So Jesus had to come and take the bend out and straighten us back up. He said, walk ye straight. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and there is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. But broad is the gate, and wide is the way that lead to destruction, and many there be that go in there. If you want to go to hell, just follow the crowd, and I promise you, you'll end up in hell for eternity. If you want to go to heaven, walk through the straight gate. His name is Jesus. He's the gate, he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the light. Give him your sin-scarred life in total surrender, and he will give you a brand new start in home, and he will give you a home in heaven also. Jesus saves us by his grace, and then he changes us by his power. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. There's wonderful working power in the blood. Then he lives his life through us, and when he does that, that makes all the difference in the world. It will make your marriage so much sweeter. It will make your home a wonderful place where you would like to go into it. I remember when I was working in the secular world, they wanted to send me on all kind of business trips, and they wanted me to stay late and work way into the night. And I told them, I said, my work is done. I don't want to go on those business trips. I'll go, but I'm coming back as quick as I can. See, I worked with people, they weren't saved, and they didn't have a happy home life. And all they wanted to do was stay there and work and work and work and go on the trips so they could get away from what was they were facing at home. But I promise you, if you'll get your life right and get your heart right and get married right, amen, and if you're married and you got a Christian, you ought to make your home the greatest place on planet Earth. Make it a place where when your husband, he wants to come home, and you're looking forward to him coming, and you want to embrace him, and you want your family to come there, and you want to love one another. God is love, and if there's an area of your life where love is lacking, take it to the cross. Let Jesus fill that place and that void with love. I guarantee you he'll do it. Go on, praise him, amen. So there's the king that they rejected. Secondly, there's the donkey that he rode. Look at Matthew or Mark 11, verse 2. Jesus saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye enter into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him to me. Now, I didn't have a donkey to put on the table, simply because that donkey represents you and me. He had to be ruled. Someone had to take authority over that donkey. They had to take charge of him. Amen. That donkey had never been broken. It was a wild animal, like that stuff you see when they go down to spring break. Wow. Amen. Those kids have gone wild. We got a generation that's gone wild, and what they need is a savior. Amen. They need help. Two of them just died down at Myrtle Beach, amen, when they jumped off of a balcony. Who knows what they were shot up on. But God, help us to reach that generation with the glorious gospel and save them from that kind of tragedy so they can live their lives out. God, help us to be relevant to the age that we live in, amen. That donkey was wild. It was stubborn. It was unruly. It had never been ridden, and that donkey needed a master. And the fact that that donkey had never been broken and that Jesus was riding that donkey, that was a miracle in itself. The little donkey surrendered and submitted himself to the authority and to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Have you been changed? Do you still have those stubborn ways about you? I do sometimes. And I have to go back and I have to pray. Amen. You know, I've just come to learn some things. Everything is not of major importance this moment. I've got a sermon. I've only preached it once, the trouble tree. And I put a little tree up here. And I put a sign, the trouble tree. And that tree represented bringing your troubles. At the end of it, I said, that's not the trouble tree. I just used that for an illustration. If you want to see the trouble tree, that is. It's called the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you pray and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Leave them there. Leave them there. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you pray and never doubt, He will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. I can't help it. Those old songs, they're just down inside of me. Hallelujah. Mother and Daddy, thank you for this great heritage. Thank you for bringing me up in a Christian home. Thank you for showing me the way of the cross. Thank you for demonstrating Pentecostal power. Hallelujah. Amen. If you got parents like that, you ought to take some time and just thank them. Amen. Hallelujah. So that donkey, it had to be broken. The little donkey surrendered himself completely to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what you and I were supposed to do. Miracles begin with submission. Let me say that again. Miracles begin with submission. Who is your master today? Is it you or is it the Lord Jesus Christ? See, that little donkey, it represents you and me. The little donkey, you know. But think about it. Being a little donkey is not so bad when Jesus is your master. Look at what that donkey got to do. He carried the King of Kings into Jerusalem. The Lord used him to bring glory to his name. The Lord used him to bring prophecy to fulfillment. Amen. And that's what the Lord wants to do with you and me. He wants to use us for his glory. Hallelujah. So that's the donkey that he rode. Thirdly, there are the three nails that changed the course of history. Three old rusty nails. Three nails that changed the course of history. Those three nails were prophetic nails. They were nails which were driven through the hands and through the feet of Jesus Christ. See, the focal point of the gospel, it is the cross and not the cradle. The focal point of the gospel is the cross and not the cradle. It is the cross and not his life. It is the cross and not his deeds. Let us glory in the cross of Christ simply because it has the power to deliver from sin, Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man that had been greatly used of God, an apostle chosen out of due season, an apostle that had a Damascus Road experience, an apostle that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. He said, Peter was sent to the Jews, but I've been sent to the Gentiles. He was an apostle, a man of recognition, a man, an educated man, a man that people in the world of Christendom, they knew who the Apostle Paul was. But he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you accomplish in life, whatever it is, just glory in the cross. Thank God that you are what you are because of the blood of Jesus and the power of Calvary's cross. Go on and praise Him for this great salvation. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. We just finished a series on the cry of the cross, the seven sayings of Jesus as he hung there and was crucified. Pastor Ricky and I, we did that. I'm getting ready to go into a studio. Brother Baker's going to take me, and I'm going to teach all seven cries of the cross. And then we're going to transfer them into PAL and send them to Zambia. And they're going to be played on national TV over there in Zambia. Isn't God great? Can't he open a door? God forbid, however, that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for open doors to get the gospel out. See, the cross is the way that God chose to bring us out of sin into his righteousness. Lean heavily on the cross, for it is there that you will find the answer to the issues of life. The cross, which was a symbol of death, it has become the tree of life for you and me. Three nails were driven through the Lord's hands and his feet. They were nails of reconciliation. Look at what Paul said in Colossians 1 and 20. Paul said, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Let me tell you, that was a cross of reconciliation. They were nails of reconciliation. Christ poured out his precious blood, and having done so, he has forever reconciled a human race to God himself. Not only were those nails of reconciliation, but those were prophetic nails, nails of cancellation. Jesus saves you and he raises you from spiritual death. And you can't add one thing to what the Master has done. Those nails canceled your debt of sin. He took your sins upon himself. His death was a substitutionary death. Christ did not die for himself. He died for you and for me. Yes, and on that cross, Jesus took our place. He took our place. It was a substitutionary work. Had he not gone there, then we would have been ushered off into the region of darkness, lost in eternity forever and ever in a devil's hell. I don't ever want to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. When I think about hell, it makes me hurt all over. And I think about the suffering and the pain. I've seen enough suffering and I've seen enough pain on this planet right here. God forbid that anyone that ever hears me preach the gospel should die and go to a devil's hell. On that cross, Jesus took our place. Peter said, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Paul said, for he, God, hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, I tell you, I get to thinking about that righteousness. See, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Amen. Paul said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. How can you get saved like that? Because God said you can. He said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. How can you be saved except there be a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that carry the good news. Amen. God brought you here. God brought you by a live stream so you would know the truth and so you could be free. Amen. It took 3 nails to pierce his hands and his feet and to hold him to that tree. One man said love held him to that tree. But there were 3 nails driven through his hands and feet. And all of mankind's transgressions, all of our shortcomings, all of our sins, they were nailed to the cross with him. Paul said, blotting out the transgression of the law that was against us. Hallelujah. See, those 3 nails canceled the law, and they gave birth to God's amazing grace. Hallelujah. Not only were those nails of reconciliation and nails of cancellation, but those were also nails of eternal identification. No redeemed person in heaven will have nail prints in their hands and in their feet. All the hurts, all the pains, all the mutilated bodies, they will be healed in heaven. Did you see the news and those little mutilated babies and bodies and what happened in Syria? The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh, we need a great revival. Please invite your friends to come out to revival. We're starting tonight with Reverend Kenny Williamson, and we're going to go through Friday night. And this should be a great time of rejoicing. Bring the sinners so they can get saved. Bring your friends so they can get a refreshing. Amen. But all the hurts and the pains and the mutilated bodies will be healed in heaven. Our resurrected bodies will be immortalized and changed into glorified bodies. Hallelujah. No sickness, no disease, no sorrow, no tears, no graveyards on the hillsides of glory. Oh, thank God for that. But see, we'll have no marks, but our Lord Jesus Christ shall bear the marks of those nail prints in his hands and in his feet throughout all eternity. You see, Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. Look at Zechariah 13:6. Look at it on the screen. The prophet said, one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hand? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. See, Jesus will remind the occupants of heaven throughout all eternity that his wounds were received so that you and I could be saved and so we could be healed and delivered. Those nails, they will, in those prints, the nail prints, they will identify Jesus throughout all of eternity. Those nail prints will remind us throughout eternity that we got to heaven by the blood of the Lamb and no other way. Amen. And that's exactly what Holy Communion is all about, which brings me to my fourth and final point. The two cups of communion. There are two elements of Holy Communion. They are the bread and the cup. The bread represents his broken body, which was beaten, battered, and bruised to bring healing to you and me, to bring healing to the nations. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. There's never been a day of miracles. There is a God of miracles. Hallelujah. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Now, in Holy Communion, there are also two cups. There's the Lord's cup, and that is found in John chapter 18, verse 11. Look at the latter part of that verse. Jesus said, John 18:11, Jesus said, this cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? His cup was the cup of suffering. He suffered so you and I could enjoy the cup of blessing. His cup was a cup of bitterness. It was a cup of rejection. It was a cup of betrayal. It was a cup of loneliness. It was a cup of separation. My God, why has thou forsaken me? The second cup that he offers to us is the cup that you and I drink of. It is a cup of fellowship. It is a cup of friendship. It is a cup of salvation. It is a cup of healing, a cup of deliverance, a cup of joy, a cup of eternal life. And when we drink that cup, we're to remember his benefits, his salvation, his deliverance, and his mercy. And then lastly, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 11:26. We're also, when we take Holy Communion, we're to remember that the Lord is coming. He came the first time, just like the prophets had said. And he'll come the second time when the Father says, go get your bride. 1 Corinthians 11:26, Jesus said in his word, for as oft as you do eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. See, it's important that we go to Calvary often, remembering his benefits and remembering that he is coming soon. And it's important that we remind ourselves of our own personal experience with the Lord and his salvation. I want the designated ushers to come at this time, and I want them to come and take the elements of Holy Communion and serve the people, if you would. If you would just go on and play something softly, brother. Hallelujah. But this is such an important meal. It's the meal that heals. It's a meal that reminds us of that moment in time when we knelt at the old rugged cross, confessed our sins, and asked Jesus into our hearts. As we take these elements today, I want you to properly discern the Lord's body. Put Isaiah 53 and 5 up, David. It says he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. That takes care of our sins right there. Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. I meet so many people, they don't have peace. So many people in the church, they don't have joy. So many people I meet, they're afraid. So many people I meet, they're full of anger, unforgiveness. They're all emotions. If somebody wrongs me and hurts me, that's reality. And they did that to me. If I become bitter inside, listen very closely. You need to hear this. If you become bitter inside, that's reaction. Nobody did that to you. You did that to you. And that's why God says, forgive, even as your Father has forgiven you. But he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So he takes care of the mind, the soul of man, mind, the will, the emotions, the psyche. And then he says, by his stripes, you were healed. And that's bodily healing. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. I don't know if your sleep has ever been tormented by tragedy or not. But Father, I pray for those who have those painful memories. And Lord, I pray that you will heal the mind and give them that peace, Father, as we're taking Holy Communion. If you're here today and there's sickness in your body, by his stripes, we're healed. That's what Holy Communion is all about. It's about us remembering what Jesus did at the cross. At the cross where he became my substitute. At the cross where he took my sin, my sorrow, my shame, the painful memories. The mind is such a wonderful thing, but it can also be a tormenting thing. Let the Lord heal your emotions this morning. And if you're here, and if there's sickness in your body, take all the faith you have and say, Lord, I'm reaching out to you. And just like you saved me, Lord, it's the same blood that heals. Thank you, Lord, for the stripes. Thank you, Lord, for mind of peace. Thank you, Lord, that you have imputed to us your very righteousness, and that we're saved and we've been reconciled back to the Father, that our debt of sin has been canceled. And Lord, those nails, they are nails of identity, nails of identification, that when we see you, when we get to heaven, we will forever know each time we see you, that's him. That's the one that took my sins.
Yes.
That made heaven available to me. I want Brother Philip to come up, if he would, and Brother Elam. There are two elements. Has everyone been served so far? Is there anyone here that's not saved and you want to be saved before I go on? That's the most important thing, is that you get your heart right with the Lord. I don't want to overlook that. But this is the meal for those that know the Lord. If you go back when Jesus served Holy Communion to his disciples, Judas got up and left the table. So it's a meal for those that belong to Christ. Two elements. First, the bread. Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. As we put the bread into our mouth, when you crush it and gnash on it with your teeth, I want you to visualize his broken body. He gave us this element so we could take something physical into our body and we could identify with his body. Let us eat the bread. As you gnash on it with your teeth, remember his words, for you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. As you take that element into your body, say, Lord, I'm taking your healing into my body, and I thank you. By your stripes, I'm healed. Brother, pray.
Father, we thank you for this element, for this unleavened bread, which represents the sinless body that you gave for each of us. Thank you, Lord, today for that bread. You are the bread of life to us. And Lord, we thank you for this bread and what it represents, Lord, and how that through your broken body, we have so much, eternal life, health, and all things that you give unto us. We thank you for this great gift in Jesus' mighty name. Yes.
Two elements. Second, the cup. Hold it up to the Lord in thanksgiving before you drink it. He said, after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, he said, this cup is the New Testament, the New Covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, we remember your shed blood and the price that you paid for our redemption as we drink the cup. Let us drink the cup together. Each drop of blood bought me a million years.
That's right.
A soul was born.
Glory.
Each time he shed a tear. He loosed the chains that fettered you and me. He bought my soul through death at Calvary. Brother Elam.
Do
Dear Jesus, we thank you today, Lord, for you shedding your blood, Lord, for mankind that we might be saved, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that there is power in your blood. Lord, we thank you there is healing in your blood. Lord, we thank you for your presence and your love this morning, Lord. Lord, we worship and honor you. There's nothing we can do and say, God, that would even come close to what you did for us on Calvary. But, Lord, it's through Calvary that we can come to you. It's through Calvary that we can put our burdens at the cross, Lord, and leave them there. We thank you, Jesus, for eternal life. Thank you for shedding your blood, Lord, that we can have a home in heaven. Lord, that we can go, Lord Jesus, and be where you are. We thank you, Lord, and praise your holy name.
Hallelujah. I just feel a good shout coming on. Let's stand and sing. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Glory, glory,
hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down, well, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid